No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 22nd day of February 2021. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. On Sunday, the Public Utility Commission, or PUC, issued two emergency orders at the behest of Governor Abbott. Order number one, power companies must stop disconnecting customers for non-payment of electricity or water bills. And order number two, those companies must stop sending bills or invoices to customers until the PUC works through the issues of how to financially manage the situation right now, which, not to be too technical about it, is an absolute mess. These two orders are clearly a response to stories grabbing media attention nationwide about sky-high bills, adding insult to the injuries of last week. The New York Times reported the story of one power customer in Texas who, though managing to hang on to his electricity through the storm, got a bill for $16,752. On Saturday, Governor Abbott met with the Lieutenant Governor and House Speaker, as well as chairs of the Senate Finance and House Appropriation Committees, among others, to find a way to address the de facto meltdown of the power grid and what comes next, according to the Texas Tribune. A couple of things we know are forthcoming. Lawmakers will be questioning key figures in the utility industries this week to find out what exactly went wrong and who's to blame. Something else we know, that notion of Texas exceptionalism is sure to take a hit. So writes the Trib's executive director and co-founder Ross Ramsey. Ross, do you fare okay through all this?
Yeah, we got to the other side, and you know, it's like spring weather now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, actually, here in the Texas capital city. How do you foresee the events, though, of this past week affecting the state's reputation?
Well, I think we had a big failure, and we had a big failure in really, really basic services. And I think the people who tout the state, you know, for economic development purposes, for tourism, for all of those things, have a hickey now that they have to explain. You know, isn't that the state where you can't keep the lights on?
Of course, a lot of people would say, well, this is one of those very rare events. And when you take into account the sort of business friendly environment and so on and so forth, I can already hear the rejoinders now, can't you?
Sure. But, you know, part of the issue here is, why did the power go off and why did we not have everything weatherized the way we were? There's going to be a bunch of investigations, a bunch of finger pointing, blaming and shaming, all of that. But the early information is that the state, after similar storms, most recently in 2011, didn't do all of the things that might have made this just another really bad weather day and or weather week. And we all suffered for it. And the question is, you know, are we trading, for example, low electricity prices for, you know, commercial and industrial clients for the preparations that should be in place but that are expensive?
So put another way, the pursuit of Texas exceptionalism might have gotten us into this mess in the first place.
Well, that's part of it. The other one is, you know, we have our own grid, as everybody knows now, who didn't know we even had a grid 8 days ago. The state is not connected to the rest of the country, and there was nobody to call for power who wasn't already using it. If you were in another state or in a state where this happens a lot, you can borrow power from places where they're not using as much. Texas doesn't have that advantage, and that's going to be one of the things under examination.
You cover politics a lot there at the Texas Tribune, and I'm curious there, Ross, what do you see the accountability process looking like, what with the legislature in session right now, and this an emergency item on the governor's agenda?
I think there's a lot of heat on this, not to try to be funny about it, but I think there's a lot of political heat here. Everybody wants to get to the bottom of it. The voters are ticked off, and the politicians are responsive to that. And the legislature happens to be in town. So you've got all of the elements for, if not a lot of change, certainly a lot of blaming. I think we're going to get some change out of this, but I don't know what form it will take. It kind of depends on how long people are angry about this and whether they can get to some easily identifiable and solvable problems.
Who's on the hot seat here? You have a governor who's going to be running for re-election next year. You've got the head of ERCOT, and the governor's calling for him to resign, as I recall, right?
Right, right. I think it goes all the way to the top. You know, ERCOT works for the Public Utility Commission. The Public Utility Commission is appointed by the governor. They all abide by laws set by the legislature. This comes back to the state's elected officials. That's who voters are going to lean on here. And that's, you know, if you're going to get any change, that's where it's going to come from.
But you mentioned that 2011 winter storm. And I think a lot of people look back at the deregulation that took place in 1999. How convinced are you that we're going to be seeing some more fundamental change in the way that our power is distributed in Texas?
I'm not. You know, what happened after 2011 was eventually, you know, the people who wanted things the way they were, who were benefiting most of the time, you know, when there's not an outage or something, prevailed in that fight. This really depends, like so many things, on how much the public wants change and whether the public is going to keep its interest on this long enough to force it.
That is the key. Ross Ramsey's co-founder and executive editor of the Texas Tribune. We'll link to his latest over at texasstandard.org. Ross, thanks again.
Thank you, David.